All right, welcome in, everybody. A special edition of the Hockey Talk Show here as we go live to a press conference taking place in Detroit right now, where Steve Yzerman is about to take over as general manager of the Detroit Red Wings.
Start by saying, one, I'm extremely excited to be back in Detroit with the Red Wings. This city, Red Wing fans, the state of Michigan, were incredibly supportive of me throughout the ups and downs of my playing career. I am very excited to return to the organization and join the Red Wings again, and with our goal of getting the team back in contention for Stanley Cups and the championships that is expected and has come to be expected here in Detroit. I really would like to thank Chris, Mrs. Ilitch, the entire Ilitch family, as I mentioned, the city of Detroit supporting me. The Ilitch family, throughout since being drafted, coming here as an 18-year-old, they have supported my playing career, supported me both professionally, and even maybe me, even more importantly, the support and care that they've shown for my wife and children as well. I am extremely grateful for that. I am thrilled to be back as the general manager. I'm grateful for the confidence that Chris and Mrs. Ilitch are showing in me and putting me in such what I consider an extremely important position. I thank you, and I look forward to working for you and with you in our quest again to return to the place where this club is expected to be. To Ken Holland, I want to start by saying, as the general manager for 22 years in Detroit, he has had a phenomenal tenure here in Detroit. He is extremely well respected by his peers around the league. Not only respected, liked, admired, the way he treats people, the way he deals with all the different situations. For me, he has been a teammate way back in the day. He has been a scout for this organization, my general manager. He's been a great friend, and he has been my mentor. I learned so much, not only as a player, playing for him in our conversations when I retired and spent four incredibly enjoyable, worthwhile years in management, learning, listening. It was an invaluable education for me and really set me up well to go off on my own to become a general manager down in Tampa. I'm incredibly grateful for his humility, his selflessness, his people management skills, and I've learned from his incredible work ethic and passion for the game. I'm very, very excited to be back working with Kenny in this role, and I'm glad that he is here, and I will be relying heavily on his expertise and opinions. It's very important for me now to acknowledge the Tampa Bay Lightning organization. Jeff Vinnick had the, not sure what the right term is,
smart.
he offered me the job in Tampa, and it was, you know, 8 years as general manager and the previous year serving as an advisor to Julian Breezeball. Can't tell you how grateful I am and how much I enjoyed working for him, working for the Tampa Bay Lightning organization, a fantastic group of people down there, believe it or not, a fantastic hockey town, but supported the organization, a very passionate fan base. It was really an enjoyable experience for me. I'm very disappointed that I wasn't able, as manager, to guide that team to a Stanley Cup. I believe they have a fantastic team, an excellent organization, a management group, scouting staff, coaches, and I wish them nothing but the best of luck, and I hope they're close, and I hope they do get that Stanley Cup championship that they're very close to getting. Now, after we get through today, it's time for me to get to work. There's a lot of work to be done. This organization and this fan base, as you all know, is used to winning and being successful. We got a lot of work to do, and depending on your age, you know that this takes time. We've been through this before. It's up and down for organization. It takes time, and I caution everyone and temper the excitement that this is going to take time. I cannot give you a specific linear timeline, but we will do the things necessary. We'll take the approach that I believe and that I've learned from Ken Holland through my, and learn with the Ilitches through our experiences, that if we follow the process, we do our job right, and truthfully, we get a little bit of luck, we'll get back to where we need to, where we're expecting to be. I believe the foundation is here for a good core of players, and it's the foundation for a core. It takes a pretty good number of players to have that core. I think we're off to a tremendous start as you watch the team this year with the likes of Dylan Larkin, Anthony Mantha, Andreas Athanasiou, Tyler Bertuzzi, Philip Aronic. You have the foundation for a core there. Kenny has done a tremendous job over the last couple of years of acquiring draft picks, more draft picks over the previous two drafts, the upcoming two drafts. It's imperative that we do well in the draft. We have some promising young prospects that will go for that playing in the American Hockey League this year with Philip Zadina. We have young Rasmussen who played in Detroit this year. A couple of kids that will turn pro from junior, just to name a couple, in McIsaac and Valeno playing out in the Quebec League. There is an exciting group of young players, young prospects, and a lot of draft picks. It's going to take some time, but I believe there's a foundation there for this team to be successful. We have an excellent young coach in Jeff Blashill. He's had success at every level he's coached at. I had the good fortune and bad fortune of our team and our minor league team in Syracuse about 5 years ago, Ken, playing Grand Rapids in the finals. We lost a hard-fought six-game series against Grand Rapids, a team coached by Jeff, and it stood out to me what an excellent job he did with that team and managing his team and the way they played. Obviously, had an opportunity to watch the Red Wings this year and the development and the play of some of the young players. So I look forward to working with Jeff. There's a lot of things in place here. As I say, we have a draft coming up. It's imperative that we draft well. It's imperative that we continue to develop and provide these young kids the environment and the opportunity to fulfill their potential. I'm confident we will do that. As I said, and I'll wrap it up, is this will take time, much like in the early part of my career. There's ups and downs. This fan base has supported us throughout the ups and downs. And again, here we are. This is an excellent opportunity now. And I'm going to stress, we're very appreciative of your support. We're going to ask for your patience. And we're going to do things the right way. And I'm grateful to all for bringing me back here. And I recognize that there's a lot of work to be done. But I'm confident if we do things well, that everyone will be pleased and we'll get the results we're expecting.
Thank you, Steve. And now the new Senior Vice President of the Red Wings, Ken Holland.
Thanks, Beamer. I would say to you, I feel very, very fortunate that 22 years ago, Mr. and Mrs. Ilitch and my mentor, Jim DeVolano, had the confidence in me to hire me as the Red Wings General Manager. It has been a privilege and an honor to be the General Manager of the Detroit Red Wings. It's been a roller coaster ride at times, but the three Stanley Cup championships as general manager is something that I will treasure forever. It's time to look forward, and today is a real exciting day for the fans of the Detroit Red Wings and for the Red Wing organization. Stevie is one of the greatest players that ever played in a Red Wing uniform. I've known Steve since 1983 when he was a draft pick and I was signed by Jim DeVolano as a minor league goaltender, so we were in the first training camp together, and I remember this guy with all these funny letters on the back of his jersey skating around, had the puck all the time as a young guy, I was 28 or 29, my God, is that guy good at 17 years of age. So then he went on, obviously, as Steve talked, when he retired as a player in 2006, he came into our front office and worked with myself, Jim DeVolano, Jim Nill, Mike Babcock was the coach. I think Scotty was still on here. Had Scotty left yet? Scotty Woman? But we had a front office staff, and we worked together for 4 years. And then Steve went on to Tampa Bay and has been in Tampa Bay for the last 9 years. And one of the people that I respect, when I sit in those managers' meetings and you look around, I respect Steve as being one of the top general managers in the National Hockey League. And obviously his team this year had tied the 96 Red Wing record for the most wins in the regular season, 62 wins. Steve and I have had many, many conversations over the last couple of weeks leading up to today. Steve and I were roommates in Sochi in a little wee room at the Olympics when Steve was the general manager of Team Canada and I was an assistant general manager. We've spent a lot of time together through the years. Steve is a really good friend. Lisa and his girls are good friends with my daughters. So it's a real exciting day for me to see Steve Yzerman come back where he belongs, back in Detroit with the Detroit Red Wings. So welcome back, Steve, and I'm thrilled that you're back and where you belong.
Thank you.
Quite lovely.
Before we open it up for questions, just a few comments I want to make about Ken Holland. You know, I'm a big believer to be successful at anything in life takes a lot of hard work. To be successful in professional sports really takes a lot of hard work. It's hard work for the players. We see every day how hard they train, how hard they prepare. But it's also really hard work for the front office staff. And I would say to you that nobody has worked harder
this is, Christopher
to bring
Illich,
success
hearing,
to the Detroit Red Wings
right now.
Than
is
Ken
Christopher
Holland.
Illich.
His work ethic is incredible.
One of the members, obviously,
he's been
the
an
Illich
amazing
family.
General manager for our organization. And it's pretty amazing when you look back through history and you see a Jim Devolano mentoring a young Ken Holland as a scout, as an assistant, a director of scouting, as an assistant general manager, and ultimately handing over the keys to Ken Holland in 1997 as general manager, because Jimmy Devolano knew that's what was best for the franchise. He put his own self-interest on the side and looked at what was best for the team. We ask our players all the time to consider what's best for the team, to adjust their play, not for their own individual statistics and accolades, but rather what does the team need to, for them to do in order for success at the team level. What Ken Holland has done here through this process is incredible. He has looked at what is in the best interest of the Detroit Red Wings and put his self-interest aside. He loves what he does, but he realized this is a one-time opportunity, perhaps, to bring Stevie back to Detroit. And Ken has willingly done that. And I think it's just an incredible thing. It speaks to his selflessness, and I think it speaks to the long-term success that Detroit Red Wings have seen is on a continual basis, people in the organization putting their self-interest on the side and doing what's best for the organization. So the final thing I'll say about Ken, I don't think there is anybody that is rooting harder for Steve Yzerman to be successful than Ken Holland. Well, maybe I'm rooting just a little harder, but he's rooting hard. And so I just wanted to share those thoughts. Beamer.
Thank you, Chris. We'll go ahead and open it up to questions from the media. If you do have a question for either Ken, Steve, or Chris, can you please just raise your hand? We do have two wireless mics that we'll pass around the room, please. Helene, we'll get started with you.
Two questions. You mentioned you asked permission in March, and why March? And secondly, Steve, was it important for this to happen now? It'll give you time before the combine, before the draft, before free agency to really get a feel for the team.
Yes. You know, when Kenny, Chris, and I had our various meetings over the last couple of weeks, I guess I'll even take it a step back. When I stepped down as general manager of the Lightning late last summer prior to the season, Jeff Vinnick, myself, Julien Brisebois discussed and ultimately decided that I would stay with the organization. They had asked me to stay as an advisor to the general manager, and I was happy to fulfill that role. Once I spoke with both Kenny and Chris in the last few weeks, we agreed that I would stay with the Lightning through the season, and hopefully, you know, obviously, with our goal was to have a successful playoff run. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And so once the season ended, Julie and I had a brief conversation. But do you need me? What do you need me for? And he said, Steve, I've got it. You're going to go to Detroit. You got work to do. You want to get ready for the draft. So the timing of it is once the work is done in Tampa Bay, that It's imperative to get to work as soon as possible. So the timing of it is important from a general manager's perspective with the things coming up. The closest at hand would be simply the U18 championships next week, where we have the sixth pick in the draft plus three second-round picks and so on. There's a lot of those kids that you'd be consideration for those picks at that tournament. So it's time to get to work.
Justin?
Steve, after hearing Chris talk about the family atmosphere and the kind of the generational hand down of this, how much did that family atmosphere and knowing that coming back here, the fans would embrace you, the organization would embrace you, made this decision as easy as it was for you?
Over the course of my playing career and my time in Detroit, spent both with Jimmy DeVellano, Kenny Holland, and part of the decision, the biggest part of the decision I made to accept the offer from Jeff Vinnick to go to Tampa was it's important if you want to be successful to go to a good organization that has stable, that has solid ownership. And that was stressed to me over and over as a player, as a newly retired player moving into management. So coming back, and again, you know, obviously I have close ties to the Ilitch family, to the Red Wing organization, to the city. I know a lot of people here regarding the job. I know the organization. I know what the Ilitch family expects. And then in my conversations with Chris over the last couple weeks about the organization, where we're at, the team, my visions, my thoughts on managing a team, I was extremely comfortable and very excited to have the opportunity to come back. This has been an extremely successful franchise throughout the ownership of the Ilitch family, with Kenny, with a lot of people I know, with Jimmy DeVellano, a lot of people in this room for that matter that have been here throughout, the ups and downs. So for me, one, coming back to Detroit, coming back to the organization, but working with this group of people, there's no hesitation.
Jeff?
Steve, back here. Just two things. I think a lot of fans started to believe you truly were going to come back after the last speech that you gave at the last day at Joe Louis Arena. How long have you kind of thought about that this could be a possibility, that eventually you would be the next GM of the Wings? And then the second part is, did it pain you? Did you find it difficult to see what the Wings were going through, just with the rebuilding, which obviously happens to a lot of teams? But I guess how tough was that for you?
When I left for Tampa, I don't know what's going to happen 5-10 years down the line. But my goal when I left is I want to win a Stanley Cup. I want to run a good organization. Ultimately, I want to win a Stanley Cup. I was fortunate enough to do that, be a part of teams that did it as a player. This role is it's a difficult job, and to be able to manage a team to win a Stanley Cup, that was my ultimate goal. I wasn't thinking beyond that. You know, I was I really enjoyed working there. I enjoyed working with the people within the Lightning organization. I loved working for Jeff Vinnick. He's a really good man, tremendous owner, a great asset, not only for the Lightning in Tampa, but for our league. And quite honestly, like the Red Wing organization, it's been run so well. It's tough to keep. I'm living it now. It's tough to stay at the top, you know. And they've done a fantastic job through two different economic systems, which is maybe even more impressive. And you know of the long playoff run, but to be able to do that. So did I ever think, you know? As you know, my family's here, our kids are here. We kept our home here, would come back in the off season. But honestly, when I left, I thought Kenny is going to be the manager for X. Jim Nill's going to take over for Kenny. And, you know, I'm going to be 100 before I get to be the manager of the Red Wings. So, quite frankly, I feel 100 right about now. But so anyway, I'm excited to be back. Was a part of the plan over the course of the season, you have a chance to think about what may or may not happen. As far as the second part, and I apologize for going on and on here, but I'm very proud of this organization. I was a part of it and a part of, you know, the the rebuild that we all went through, whether you were a member of the Ilitch family, you were a player, you were a fan, you were a member of the media, you saw, you know, you saw this organization build and build and get back to where it was from the 50s and early 60s. And again, I know so many people here. I always wanted the Red Wings to do well, but also knowing that there's cycles, and you know, the people here, they know what they're doing. They're going to get it back up there. So, yes, it was, you know, I didn't feel good about watching the team, you know, struggle, because I know the people here, but also I know how hard it is to, you know, being a part, you know, being in the league. It's hard, and that's the business we're in.
Craig?
Steve, I'm just curious, how will you be looking to add to the front office, and how likely will it be that maybe you'll look to bring some people with you from Tampa?
Kenny Holland could not look more bored right now. Poor guy.
To say definitively, I have some ideas on what I want to do, but as far as Tampa goes, like it's difficult to bring people because you have to, you know, if they're under contract, you have to offer them a better opportunity than they have there. That, you know, just you're not going to get a person doing a job under contract to do a job to go to another organization to do the same job. Am I looking to add? At this point, I can't say to you yes or no to that. I have some ideas, but there's a lot of good people here, and I want to spend some time with Ken and talk about, you know, what we need, what he thinks we need. I got a lot of questions, and we'll make those decisions. But the Tampa organization, they're great people there, and Julian's got a good handle on things. He's, you know, just being with him for the last year, he knows what he wants to do. He knows how he's going to get it done, and he is going to get it done. He's got an excellent group of people. Some of them he brought in. They've all kind of came from different angles. I think there's a limit to, you know, I guess the number of people you could bring, but ultimately, what's available and what's available, who's available, and what jobs are there. But most importantly, I want to take some time here. Again, watch some of the U18s, and over that time, meet with some of the staff that we have, and then kind of figure out what needs to be done or what positions need to be filled, and then ultimately, who's the right person for that.
Wojo?
Steve, over here in the middle somewhere.
Hey, Wojo.
How are you? I know you're a competitor and you like a challenge, but in your mind, how did you weigh the lure of the Red Wings versus the risk of leaving a team that's ready to win a cup, a great situation there versus a rebuilding situation here? How did you weigh that in your mind?
Well, the decisions weren't made at the same time. You know, I stepped down as a general manager, some conversations with Jeff Vinnick over the offseason, and ultimately we made the decision early in September prior to training camp. And we had, both Jeff and I and Julian Breezeball, had agreed, hey, let's, you know, I would stay with the organization. They had asked me to stay, and I wanted to do that. We had, you know, a team that were trying to compete for a Stanley Cup. And over the course of the season, you know, my thoughts about, okay, what am I going to do next? I enjoyed the role. I enjoyed being a part of it. But truly, I like being a general manager. I like, you know, I guess being in charge. To come back to the Red Wing organization, it really was, for me, it wasn't a difficult decision. I didn't, you know, I know where the organization is at, but there's so many positives here that I think, hey, this is an awesome opportunity, not only personally, professionally, and it's a chance again to rebuild a team. So again, the decisions weren't made at the same time. I'm virtually, you know, virtually a year apart.
Larry?
Steve, Blaschel, do you plan
which is kind of a lie, though, when you think about it, because...
Absolutely, yes. Ken...
He doesn't leave Tampa Bay Lightning if he doesn't think that he can eventually hook up with the Detroit Red Wings. It's just one goes in hand with the other. So, I mean, that's... You have to say it the way he just said it, but he's kind of stretching the truth there. If he doesn't, like if Jim Nill is still there, he doesn't I don't know if he necessarily makes the move that he made.
Like, is, you know, you watch those young players this year, watch them evolve, watch them develop, and I think some continuity is good. You know, these Dylan Larkins and young players are doing well. I think a coach has a lot of responsibility for that, or has, you know, want to credit, call it whatever you want. So I look forward to working with them. And again, we're trying to build. We're trying to have a team that is a very competitive team that's going to compete for playoff spots, for Stanley Cups. I'm not looking just to roll in here and do a couple of things that make it exciting, but and not truly build a team that's going to be successful, not just, you know, 1 year, but going forward.
Pat, yes. Caputo.
Chris, I wanted to ask you, I'm fully aware of how popular a decision this is to bring him in. And, you know, how much did you feel an urge or need urgency to do this? And for Steve, just as a follow-up on it, you talked a little bit about expectations. You know, fans think you're on a white charger coming in here and saving the franchise. I'm sure you're aware. I just wanted to ask that of Chris and then that of you, Steve.
Midge insulting.
Yeah,
for
you know, I guess going back to one of the earlier questions that we didn't answer, just to give you a little bit of the history, you know, when Steve had made the decision he was going to step down and then we saw in media reports he wanted to be back with his family in Detroit. Ken and I, we get together on a regular basis, and at our next meeting, you know, we certainly talked about that. and we both agreed it would be great to bring Steve back.
There you go. Case in point, going back to my last thing, which was you don't sit there and go, oh, I'm going to spend more time with my family in Detroit where there happens to be a National Hockey League franchise if you don't want this move to come to fruition. So, yeah, case in point right there, exactly what I was saying. You don't go like he essentially what Steve Yzerman did by saying that was send out the bat signal to Ilitch. And Ilitch is confirming here that they heard it loud and clear.
To Steve, and then he granted that permission, and I asked Ken, and Ken and Steve talked and sorted it all out, and here we are today. But to most directly answer your question, you know, it's a moment in time for Steve to have stepped down from his role. Of course, he was so successful in Tampa, understandably was interested in coming back to be closer to his family, and that was a great bit of fortune for us in the Detroit Red Wings, and Ken and I realized that. I had a chance to talk with Marian Ilitch, who's here today, and she was ecstatic about the possibility of Steve returning to the Detroit Red Wings, and we were all in agreement. And so I would say to you, it was more about opportunity and where Steve was at in his career, what he's accomplished, his history with our organization, and the opportunity presented itself. But again, I go back to the first-class manner in which Ken Holland has handled this entire situation. I can't say enough. You know, in 30 years of business in my career, I've never seen anything like it where a person puts their own self-interest aside and really, you know, takes an attitude that I'm going to do what's best for the organization. Ken Holland is a Red Wing through and through. There's no two ways about that.
I guess to answer your question, for me, regardless of what you think, good, bad, or indifferent of my playing career, it's irrelevant to the job I'm doing as a manager. Although I would say I learned so much as a player that's helped me as a manager in my time, my dealings with our players. I've learned a lot. I have my own feelings on the job that I did in Tampa, some good, some not so good. I'm very disappointed that we didn't win a Stanley Cup in the 9 years with the assets that we had, players, management, ownership, the players that I started with to 9 years later. I was expecting to win a Stanley Cup. I was hoping to win a Stanley Cup. I wasn't able to do that, so I'm disappointed. And I can only think that if I'd have done this, done that, we would have won one. You can't look back. I guess you look back. The only reason I look back is to learn, to assess the situation, the decisions I made, and hopefully make better ones because there'll be similar ones coming forward. Again, what I would say is obviously, I'm pleased that people are excited. Most people are excited. I'm sure there's some doubters out there, but that's okay. They're difficult jobs. They really are. It's hard. It's not an exact science. You get surprised both positively and negatively along the way. Some decisions that you thought were no-brainers don't turn out the way it thought. These players, they're young boys when they start. A lot happens. Injury, things can just you can't plan for happen. Again, I go by we're going to do things what I believe the right way, what I've learned from working and playing in this organization, and I've carried those forward, what I've learned over the last 9 years in Tampa. I just stress that this is going to take some time. Again, I can't give you a specific timeline. We're going to do things a certain way. I'm going to ask for some patience, and I know there's a limit to the patience of the fans, the media, of everyone, for that matter, of the boss, you know. I'm not going to come in here this first year and on July 1 make a big splash just so we are a little bit better next year. If there are opportunities, you know, I say how important the draft is. We got to draft and develop and be patient. If there's ways to expedite the process, we will do that. It's hard, though. We're competing with 30 other teams trying to get the same players, trying to make the same trades. It just takes time. So I would caution that, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to work with the Red Wing organization again. It's going to take time.
Jamie?
Hi, Steve, here in the middle. I'm wondering if you believe in fate, because there's a lot of talk of 19 coming back to this organization on the 19th of April, on April 19th. Do you buy into any of that?
Well, I'll let you know in 5 years. you know what? My daughters pointed that out to me this morning. I really hadn't given it any thought. Obviously, I came here as an 18-year-old in 1983, played 22 seasons and spent, 4 years in management. I grew up here. Have strong ties here. Is it fate that I'm coming back? Honestly, today, the reason we're having the press conference today is because we got work to do. It really didn't have anything to do with the date or anything like that. But yeah, I guess to me it's ironic, and maybe hopefully it brings us some good luck.
Mitch?
Hey, Steve. Welcome back.
Hi, Mitch.
So I'm just a little confused about the timing. When you first stepped down from Tampa Bay, did you already have this in mind? When did you guys begin to talk about it? Why exactly did you step down from such a great position and such a great job? And over the course of this year, while you've been here, what has it been like for you if you're out on the street? I'm sure everybody who sees you has probably said, oh, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? Or those kind of questions. How have you sort of fielded that? And kind of walk us through the whole timeline from the reasons why you left Tampa Bay to when you first got the idea of doing this.
To go back, you know, I had 1 year left on my contract last season. As I've said, my family has remained in the Michigan area. The girls are off at school doing this or that, but this has been home. And we have a home in Tampa. My entire career there, I've done somewhat of a commute. The job as general manager requires a lot of travel. You're all over the world. With my family being in Detroit, the team being in Tampa, our American League team being in Syracuse, New York, and all the other parts of the job that require you to travel a lot. After 7-8 years, I had a decision to make. Jeff and I had talked last summer about renewing my contract, and I had to give it some. I had no doubts about, hey, I love this job, I love the organization. What was weighing on me was I felt like it was getting harder to do the job the way it needs to be done, and to also spend the time I needed with Lisa and the girls, and I wanted to do that. And for the first time last year, I felt like, you know, the job, I'm not doing it the way it needs to be done, the way it should be done, and it's not right to do it that way. So I had to make a decision in talking with Jeff about, I got to, you know, if I'm going to do the job longer and continue to do it, I got to do it the right way. And so I've got two choices, either you know, sign a new contract and keep doing it the way we're doing it, where my family is and all that, that's a personal decision we made. Nobody can make that decision for us, and frankly, nobody can question that decision, as we all have families, we got to do what we got to do. And this worked, but it was wearing on me a little bit, and I wasn't doing the job the way I thought, and so I decided last summer in a conversation with Jeff, I'm not going to sign a new contract. We talked about it, okay, what do we do now? And ultimately, we agreed Julian is the right man to take over. And okay, how are we going to transition it? Ultimately, I stayed as an advisor to Julian, and we debated at that. You know, I said, if you want to stay in this role, and I said, you know what, let's try it. I may stay in this role. And as the year went on, my thoughts were to, you know, I like managing. It's been fun. I want to see this team win. I really do. I'm going to try and do as much as I can. But in the back of my mind, I want to go back to. I'm going to live in Detroit. I want to work again, and I want to manage. And as we get closer to the end of the season, teams, the whole league, depending on their situation, where they are in the standings, whatnot, and what changes they may or may not be making, start to do their homework. So over the last, I don't know the exact date, but I got a Jeff Finnick sent me an email just saying that the Red Wings have reached out. I would like to speak to you, and I can't remember specifically then. Where I agreed, and I don't know if I talked. Ken called or whatnot. Ken and I had a conversation, had a long conversation, a great conversation, and in that he felt like Steve, he wanted me to take over as a general manager of the team. We had a long conversations about it, the transition. Should we do it this summer? Ken, as you know, had a year left on his contract. Should he take over? But when he comes to me and says, you know, Steve, I think you should be the next manager of the Red Wings, is something obviously that I was, you know, very intrigued by and very excited by. And then shortly after, and again, I had a lot going on the last couple of weeks, so my timeline's a little blurred, but had an opportunity to have a good phone call, conversation initially with Chris, and then one really lengthy, enjoyable meeting just talking hockey, and another meeting as well, and here we are today.
We have time for one more question. Max?
Hi, Steve. I know you've been pumping the brakes on timelines, but in your experience, how long does it take to fully familiarize yourself with the players in an organization at every level, and just to kind of know what needs to be done and create a vision?
I don't know if I have a specific answer for that one either. I would say really not too long. One, you know, I know a lot of the people within the organization. That's going to speed it up a little bit. You know, I'm somewhat familiar with Grand Rapids, the dynamics of how it all works. I know a lot of the players that
right,
are young players
that's kind
for
of a
your
fluff,
drafts because we were scouting the
same
players.
It's kind of a fluffy question that doesn't really have a good answer anyway, so we will leave it right there. There is the brand new general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, or as they say in Canada, Detroit Red Wings, Steve Yzerman, as he is named to the position, and Kenny Holland, who had a year left on his contract, gets to sign an extension in a presidential advisory role. I don't have the exact term in front of me, but we'll get it in front of me. And we'll figure out what it is exactly there. But Kenny Holland going to stay on as president of hockey operations. There you go. President of hockey operations. Hockey Talk Show here with you guys on this Friday, April 19th, 3:51. If you're watching live on Facebook or YouTube, and of course, if you're listening to the podcast, thanks so much. Make sure you rate and review. Not surprising here, not shocking, the development that happened. News broke a little bit earlier this morning that this press conference was going to happen today at 3:00, and here it is. And we get the news that Steve Yzerman is the new general manager, and Kenny Holland gets moved up. A couple of interesting things here that I found out, and that was that at around 11:30 or so, I would say around 10:15, I first sort of heard, and this will be nice. We'll click back over for the jersey presentation so you guys can get a look at that if you're watching this. around 10:15 or so, I heard that this press conference was going to go down. And then about 11:30 or so, I had heard from someone that that was not was going to happen. And I thought that was kind of odd. I thought, well, the word was, well, no, he's not going to be named. I thought, well, that seems a little bit not right. But as we can see here, he is named. He is the next general manager. And let's be honest with each other. It's a good solid move on the part of the Detroit Red Wings, as you can see here, posing for photos in the press conference. Oop, and there we go. We lost the feed already. So there you go. Stevie Yzerman is in. Kenny Holland gets the promotion. A couple of takeaways from this, and we'll analyze it, and then we'll get into some of the other news of the day. I got some Islanders news here for you guys. We got a couple other things. You know, we got a couple of things on Seattle, but I don't know if we'll get to that today. We might save that for a separate hockey talk show so we could devote some time to Seattle and to expansion. But a couple of things that are interesting here, you know, Stevie Yzerman looked like he was answering questions from Robert Mueller towards the end there about the timelines and everything else. Look, this is exactly what Steve Yzerman wanted to happen. As you heard him say, his family was in Detroit. He had a condo in Tampa Bay, so they were never fully moved in there as a family. He was commuting back and forth, which, as you also heard him say, general managers tend to travel around and fly a lot, and he was doing that whole part of it. But overall, you know, and you can tell this on your regular commute sometimes. You move and you get home a little farther away, and you got that extra 15 minutes on your commute on a daily basis, and you're miserable. You're miserable. So I can't imagine what that is to take one more flight to get home to your wife and your kids at the end of a trip or at the end of a week. So I totally understand how after 7 years or so this would wear. What's interesting, though, is if you look at the parallels between Kenny Holland and Steve Yzerman, Steve Yzerman goes into this advisory role with the Tampa Bay Lightning with his eye knowing full well that Kenny Holland's contract is going to be up within a year or two of him making that announcement. You know, I think with the obvious hope that he was going to be there in Detroit, Kenny Holland obviously gets an extension. They didn't say exactly what that was in years. They just said he got an extension, which you have to do if you're going to make a move like this, because if you make this move and he goes into an advisory role without an extension, it looks like you have no faith in him. It looks like he had no part in this. It looks like he's being pushed out, which I actually don't think is the case or the scenario. But if you give him the extension, you give him the security. But interestingly enough, he gets to go into this bigger role. He gets to sit atop, not be a GM for a little while as the Seattle franchise gets ready. And there's all sorts of rumors there that he is going to be taking over the Seattle franchise. The two big rumors I hear with Kenny Holland, because he lives in the British Columbia area of Canada, so over by Vancouver, is that's a short hop to Edmonton. He could become the Edmonton general manager. They could be so lucky. Or he winds up taking over the Seattle franchise, which it seems now that that would be the scenario. Because if he was going to go to Edmonton, there would be some sort of an announcement today. There would also not be an extension. I also noticed that he didn't really take a lot of questions. He wasn't really asked a lot of questions, and he didn't really say all that much. So to me, all signs point to he's going to make his way to Seattle. Similarly to the way Yzerman put it out in the universe, hoping that he can make his way back to Detroit, I think this is Kenny Holland saying to the universe, I'm going to remain here, be in the Detroit organization for a little while, and then eventually find my way closer to my home, which is over there in British Columbia, which is a short hop away from Seattle. So Seattle obviously not looking for a general manager this year, but they could be in the market and make a hire as early as next year. So it makes sense for Kenny Holland to give this 1 year in an advisory role with Steve Yzerman, who really doesn't need all that much advice. Rice Roy, thanks for watching on Facebook. Who's going to be the new GM for the Tampa Bay Lightning? Julien Brisebois is the general manager for the Tampa Bay Lightning. The incarnation of that, and you heard Stevie say that, but just in case you're just joining us here, essentially, Steve Yzerman had a year left on his contract. And when Tampa ownership went in and said, okay, you got a year left, you know, let's get you signed for an extension, obviously they wanted him to stay. He said, hold on, pump the brakes. I'm doing all this traveling. I'm not near my family. Let me think about what I want to do moving forward. And then he finally came to the realization and said, hey, guys, I'm not going to sign a contract extension. So what do we do? So they said, all right, well, for your last year under contract, you'll be a special advisor to Julian Brisbois, the assistant GM. He gets bumped up to GM. And that's how essentially Stevie Y spent his last year or so. He did do some commuting. He did spend a majority of that time in Detroit, as you heard him say in the press conference. He was already home and already familiar. And now he doesn't have to travel so far to get to work every day. Lou, welcome in, my friend. How are you doing, buddy? Been following your channel, man, the vlogs and everything else. It's really cool. Very exciting for the Vegas Golden Knights right now, although I'm sure you wish they would have closed it out the other day. Was that last night already? I think it was last night. So that was that. Christopher Illich said Ken Holland was intricate in bringing Stevie Y back into the fold. I think that for Ken Holland, and I can't really speak for him here, but my guess is he's been the general manager for the Detroit Red Wings since 1997, which ironically at the time, Jimmy Devolano moved aside and yielded so that Ken Holland could take over because he was the next and up and coming sort of young buck there. And now Kenny Holland is moving over and yielding to Steve Yzerman. There's a lot of sort of parallels in this situation. Kenny Holland is intricate in bringing back Steve Yzerman. And I think it's a good move. And again, nobody really seems to mind because he is he's definitely on his way up to Seattle. And if you're curious about that, the Seattle franchise got some news the other day about their arena, which we're going to tackle in a separate show coming up here on the Hockey Talk Show. So make sure you guys like our channel, subscribe on YouTube, and hit that bell to get notifications so that when we go live, you don't miss a second of the Hockey Talk. I also did find it interesting that Steve Yzerman, to go back to what Therogen said, sorry if I'm butchering that name there, on why Steve Yzerman left the Detroit organization in the first place. And the reason why that was is because if you remember when Stevie Yzerman retired, he went into the front office for Detroit. And the front office at the time, the one and two, was Kenny Holland and Jim Nill. And you still had Jimmy Devolano, who is still with the organization right now, is very, very high up in the organization, oversees both the Tigers and the Red Wings, who are owned by the Illich family there in Detroit. So that was sort of the scenario. So there was sort of a logjam. So if Steve Yzerman wanted to be a general manager, he was essentially third in line behind Kenny Holland, who was the manager, and Jim Nill, who was the obvious heir apparent to take over should Kenny Holland move on or be fired or any scenario like that. Fast forward to a bunch of years, Steve gets his opportunity to go to Tampa and takes it. And then Jim Nill eventually gets an opportunity to become a general manager in Dallas and takes it there and doesn't wait to take over the role of GM for the Detroit Red Wings. As you can see, Kenny Holland, basically, it was his job to give up. And for whatever reason, he wasn't there and ready to give it up to Jim Nill. So that's sort of the scenario which happens. Things happen all for a reason and in odd ways. And there you go. Add on top of that, that was 9 years ago that Steve Yzerman left to become the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So in that time, I could see, 9 years ago, Kenny Holland not wanting to give it up. And now being a little bit older, maybe saying, all right, I've been the manager for 22 seasons now. Maybe he's ready for something new, a new challenge, a different way to go about things. Who knows? He still gets I'm sure he's still going to get a really good paycheck. I'm sure he's got a nice office. He gets all the perks. And maybe he gets himself into a scenario where he gets to move a little bit closer to his home in the future. So we'll watch that scenario and see what happens there. The other interesting thing about all of this is I wonder, I think that Steve Yzerman is an incredibly talented general manager. I mean, what he was able to do with that Tampa Bay Lightning roster, when you think about it, he got there and he had Steven Stamkos, and that was it. And not that that's a bad way to start. That's a good little piece to build around. But when you look at how massive that roster is now with Kucherov and Point and Hedman and, even the goaltending moves, and going to Vasilevsky and you know, giving up on what's-his-name, who was the number one, to have that confidence, be like, nope, Vasilevskiy's the guy, you know, the whole thing. I mean, he's just, he didn't get a lot wrong. You know, Yzerman didn't get a lot wrong. But one of the big weapons that he had down there in Tampa Bay was that state tax. Now, if you know anything about free agency in Florida, there is no state tax in Florida. Essentially, that gives you an extra $2 million to work with on most players. You know, you get a good percentage of extra money to work with because you can, you know, if the New York Rangers make you an offer for $10 million a year and the Tampa Bay Lightning make you an offer for $10 million a year, you know, you're legit going to be walking away with more money with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So he's not going to have that tool now. And that was essential in keeping Steven Stamkos in the mix. Because if you remember, Stamkos was on that John Tavares tour, but he only did it for like a day or so before he came back and signed the contract, which was way less money than he would have gotten if he went to Toronto or anywhere else. But he didn't mind almost doing it and taking the less money because he had the benefit of the no stay tax in Florida. So literally he was taking more out of his paycheck home on a daily basis. Let's talk about the New York Rangers since I use them as an example. Who was it? Larry Brooks wrote an article the other day, I guess. I didn't see it. Priscilla, you're still with us. I guess saying that Steve Yzerman was possible for the role. I don't even know what he said. I'm sure he speculated. Here's the thing about Larry Brooks. He is a dinosaur. He is a waste of space. Don't listen to... you can read Larry Brooks. I'm not telling you not to, but take everything Larry Brooks says with a grain of salt because the guy is utterly useless. Useless. When I was with the Islanders, Larry Brooks would be there at times. Nobody liked him. He is a booger. He's an awful person. I mean, he may be a nice person personally, but in the press room, he was super irritating. He's just annoying. He's an awful writer. He speculates far too much. And as time has gone on in the last 5 years, as we've seen with the print industry, that industry is dying. And the influence that he used to yield in the world of hockey is shrinking by on a daily basis. He is unimportant and out of style and insignificant. So do not believe a word that Larry Brooks says. Everybody and their mother knew. I said it months ago on this show. I think I said it at the time that Yzerman made the announcement. Obviously, he's going to go back to Detroit. I mean, you could just connect the dots. Holland's contract was up, and he made the move. We knew we were going to get to this day. I was surprised that it was today, though. I thought it would have waited a little bit longer, maybe after the playoffs. But again, as Stevie alluded to in the press conference, they got work to do. You know, they got work to do. They got all sorts of scouting to be done before the draft here. So they got to get cracking on things. So that's that. Rice Roy, congratulations on your birthday, my friend. 25 years old. Happy birthday. If I were you, I'd go out and rent a car. Take it for a spin, my friend, because now you can do it. That's a huge advantage with Florida taxes. It's like an NHL GM cheat code. It is true. Dallas, Florida, they get to use these tools that a lot of other managers don't have, you know, and the economics for Canadian teams are essentially tough because they're collecting Canadian money from sponsors and ticket holders, and they're paying out American money. So when that thing fluctuates around, it really affects the Canadian teams. But thankfully, with the salary cap era and the way things are set up now, these teams can survive. Not that Montreal or Toronto need the help, or Winnipeg for that matter, but it does help, as we've seen in Calgary, as they've declined in revenue with their arena. Some of those checks, the revenue sharing from the National Hockey League, can be helpful to a degree. As far as the New York Rangers go, let me leave a point on this too. You know, it's for me, it's JD all the way. I mean, you know, when I look at the New York Rangers and I see what they need, they not only need somebody to come in there and help steer that ship and help steer that franchise, not only that, but they need someone to manage James Dolan. And that is a full-time job unto itself. As far as horrific owners go in the National Hockey League, nobody is beating Eugene Melnyk right now and the Ottawa Senators. But when I look at JD and what he's been able to do with the Columbus Blue Jackets and what he was able to do with the St. Louis Blues before that, I don't see a better option for the New York Rangers than John Davidson. And obviously, you know, the reason why, you know, you can look at Detroit right now in this scenario and why they're doing a press conference today, because Tampa's out of it and they can make that happen. If the Rangers are going to make a move on John Davidson, we're not going to find out until Columbus is already out of the mix. They're not out of the mix, so that's why there's no move. If we go into the next round and Boston or Toronto beat the Columbus Blue Jackets, that's when I would get excited if I was a Ranger fan. Because you got to look at those next 3 or 4 days and see if John Davidson's going to come out and take over your president of hockey operations for the New York Rangers. The conversations for that to happen are probably taking place right now. So it'll be interesting to see if ownership over there in Columbus is allowing those discussions to happen. But I don't know if there's a better person to make that move, because John Davidson is severely respected in the Rangers organization. He was a player. He was a color analyst for the team. He's just a very well-respected guy in the industry. He's very soft-spoken, very slow-moving. He's exactly what that franchise needs when dealing with James Dolan. So look for the end of the Columbus Blue Jackets season, whenever that may be, for James Dolan to come into that role. If not, then it's going to be somebody else, and we'll just have to wait and see who that is. Still interesting to see who's going to be up there for the Edmonton Oilers as far as they continue to do their search for a GM. I thought that, you know, it would have been really nice if... I have one more point about the Rangers, too. I thought it would have been really nice if Kenny Holland would have taken over the Edmonton Oilers. That's sort of the upgrade they need. I'm going to go and look and see if I can find out any information on why that wasn't happening or a possibility or whatever the case is. It looks like it's Holland to Seattle whenever they get their shop up and running. As far as the Steve Yzerman to the New York Rangers possibility goes, according to one report, Steve Yzerman... the Rangers did reach out to Steve Yzerman. Steve Yzerman declined to even be interviewed. All right, so I have that from someone, too. Steve Yzerman declined to even be interviewed for the job. So it's not like the Rangers didn't give it the old college try, but there was really no point in it. I mean, there's no scenario where he goes to the Rangers over the Detroit Red Wings. The guy's a lifetime Detroit Red Wing member. You know, he did a brief stay over there in Tampa. Let's go to the current playoff scenario and talk some Islanders here. Johnny Boychuk is out 3 to 4 weeks with a lower body injury. Not good for the New York Islanders. Boychuk was playing some really good minutes there. Ironically, Boychuk and Letty have sort of passed the torch over to Pelech and Pulock. They really seem to be the top pair defensemen for the boys in blue and orange. So it'll be Thomas Hickey who will probably be the replacement. You still have Lucas Spezza there in the mix, who's been a scratch for the last bunch of games. So we'll see. Islanders general manager Lou Lamoriello said, "Anytime you lose a regular, it's a loss. But fortunately for us, we have depth on defense. And players are ready. It gives an opportunity to another player." So Johnny Boychuk stepping in here for the New York Islanders. The Selke nominees were announced today. And I got to say that I am thoroughly disappointed that Casey Cizikas was not considered in that mix. The three finalists are Mark Stone, Ryan O'Reilly, and Patrice Bergeron. All of whom have had some really good years. Patrice Bergeron, they might as well rename the Selke Trophy, the Patrice Bergeron Trophy. The guy's always in contention. He's won it a bunch of times, certainly deserving. He had another great year this year. Ryan O'Reilly has had a bounce-back season with the St. Louis Blues. Mark Stone, I don't really get that whatsoever. I really don't get that. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Stoner's a top six player, and you know that award. And this may be the first time I've ever agreed with Butch Goring. That award was considered for the bottom six forwards. It was, you know, in consideration for the best defensive forward, the best checker. And I think Casey Cizikas had one hell of a year this year. So the fact that he got pushed over is a little disappointing and I think a miss on the part of the NHL. However, there was a nomination for the Islanders today. One that they can certainly be proud of, and that was Robin Lehner. Robin Lehner being recognized in his amazing, amazing comeback year and what he's been able to do with the Isles and the fact that he's basically, essentially, sort of taken over that number one spot in the goaltending situation here. But Robin Lehner got nominated for the Masterton. Was it the Masterton, I think? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the Masterton. I had it in front of me now, and I just lost it. I forget who he was nominated with because I just lost the damn thing. But, yeah, Robin Lehner for the Masterton, and I think that's a no-brainer. He walks away with that one in a big way. Although, who else is in it? It's Jumbo Joe. Ooh, he could lose it to Jumbo Joe in the end there. He could lose it to Jumbo Joe in the end. Let's see here. Nick Foligno of the Jackets, Robin Lehner of the Islanders, and Joe Thornton of the Sharks. Could be Joe's last year. We'll see. And that's the awards that were announced today. Anything else? I think we're about to wrap it up here. All right, so good news for the Detroit Red Wings. They are back on the map. We'll see how long it takes the great Stevie Y to put that team back into the mix. Certainly have had a rough couple of years here, but they got a lot of promise there with Dylan Larkin and Andreas Athanasiou. I love those two guys. They're good, fast, speedy wingers. You know, they've still got Darren Helm on a contract for a couple of years. I'm not a huge fan of Justin Abdelkader. Franz Nielsen, to me, has fallen off a bit. They relied a little too heavily on Thomas Vanek, who's 35 now. Tyler Bertuzzi seems like he's coming up and, you know, developing quite nicely. So we'll see what goes on there. Their defense is okay, serviceable. Danny DeKeyser, Nick Cronwall, of course. Their goaltending has been an issue. Jimmy Howard sort of steadied things a little bit this year. Jonathan Bernier, both of them had goals against averages over three. And it's kind of upsetting when you see what Peter Mrazek has been able to do with Carolina and taking them into the playoffs and how far he's taken them with the Caps in this series. You know, you kind of look at that and go, okay, that was one of the ones that Kenny Holland, you know, he sort of goofed up on. But in his defense at the same time, those two, Mrazek and Howard, wasn't a good combination. They were both suffering that year that they were sharing that time together. So he had to make a move there, but kind of maybe made the wrong one. We'll see what happens there. Game five, Toronto and Boston tonight from the Garden. We'll see what happens here. I think that the Boston Bruins jump up and take a 3-2 lead. I think Colorado and Calgary tonight is going to be an extremely tight game. I picked Calgary to win this series, so I'm going to stick with my pick here and say Calgary draws it to a game six with a win this evening. And then we got a bunch of hockey over the weekend. Let's take a second and just, Carolina has tied that series 2-2 against the Washington Capitals. I mean, that's amazing. Game five is tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, a game six between Winnipeg and St. Louis, and tomorrow afternoon, Dallas and Nashville will get together at 3 o'clock. That'll be on the NBC national broadcast here in the States. So plenty of hockey for over the weekend. We will be back with you guys next week. We'll talk about the expansion Seattle franchise and what's going on with their arena. There's a bunch of developments there. And we'll speculate further on when Ken Holland will be named general manager of the new expansion Seattle franchise. Until then, enjoy the hockey.